You know, students are really worried about making the right choice. And I think, you know, one learning from that is, you know, what can you do to, you know, make sure during this summer period, right, or spring and summer period, what can you do to make students more confident in their choice about committing to an institution or school? I think there's a lot of things you can do. And that kind of rolls into our next topic pretty nicely too. But, you know, that's really interesting, right? Just an overall, like, make them feel good about making the right choice and committing to your institution was very, very important.
Hey, welcome to the Higher Ed Storytelling University podcast on the EdUp Experience Podcast Network. This is a show dedicated to helping higher ed marketers tell better stories, create better content, and enroll more students. My name's John Azzoni. I'm the founder at Unveiled, and we're a video production company working specifically with college marketing teams to make it easy for them to scale up and even automate their student and alumni success stories through our subscription approach. And you can learn more about that at unveiled.tv, and that's unveiled.tv. If you're listening to this podcast for the first time, go ahead and subscribe. We'd love to have you. And if you're wanting your college and university's content to resonate on a deeper emotional level with prospective students, with alumni, with parents, whatever, I want you to subscribe to my free newsletter. Every week I send out tips and insights on creating more emotionally resonant content, including examples and best practices from other institutions, articles and blog posts, that week's podcast episode, and much more. So head over to unveiled.tv/newsletter and sign up. All right, let's get on with the show. My guest today is Shiro Hattori. Shiro is the director of Demand Gen at Concept3D, and he hosts the Higher Ed Demand Gen podcast. And today we're talking about data around enrollment, commitment, and commencement, and specifically data that you can use in your storytelling and content creation efforts. So Shiro, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here, John.
So what's something that people would be surprised to know about you? I know a lot of people in this space know you.
Yeah, I guess my pastimes are like extreme sports. I love skiing and mountain biking, and I tend to do like the downhill version of both of those. So that's where I get my motivation and I get a lot of my energy rejuvenation from. So yeah.
That's cool. I went mountain biking one time in the in a trail in the woods. That's scary. It's scary when you're going fast, like around trees and stuff.
I mean, yeah, like to add to that, I'm usually bleeding or hurt during the summer at almost any point of the day, like just because I have a wound from a fall.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. I used to be a skateboarder in my teen years.
Yeah.
So I was into all that stuff. Now I'm pushing 40. I am legitimately, I'm not exaggerating, getting into fingerboarding.
Nice.
Like with the little finger size skateboards. I just play with it at my desk. And I'm like, this is totally this is my middle aged version of my teenage years.
Yeah,
practicing
awesome.
Tricks. Yeah. Okay, cool. So tell us a little bit about Concept3D. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I do work for Concept3D as the director of demand generation. And I've been with him for close to 3 years now. And at Concept3D, we provide EdTech solutions for higher ed. And we have just around 700 really happy customers. And we sell three main solutions. It's an interactive campus map, a centralized events calendar, online events calendar, and a virtual tour solution. So we have those three separate solutions. We're always coming out with more ways to help aid higher ed. And yeah, that's what we do.
And I've seen a picture of you on LinkedIn where you wear this map outfit to conferences.
Yeah.
I thought that was hilarious.
True. It's like the, for those of you listening, like when you're a kid, you have like the little like Hot Wheels cars, and then you need a map to play with your cars, kind of like the skateboard thing, the fingerboard thing.
Yeah.
And then so there's a suit with the map, the same map. On a whole sweatshirt or a hoodie and sweatpants. And I wear them to the conference because we make interactive maps for schools. And it's funny because a lot of people will come back and say that suit is so nostalgic for me because I think everyone knows the map, has seen it once in their life.
Yeah. That map that's always on an everyday care floor with
exactly.
Streets and things.
How effective has that been? Have you gotten any, like, have you generated any demand?
Yeah, it's been amazing, honestly. I've worn it at two conferences now, and people will literally come up to your booth just to say, like, hey, I just wanted to say, like, I love your suit or your outfit. And boom, that's like, if they come say hi to you, then you have 100% the right to be like, oh, thank you. Like, you know, where are you from or what school do you work for? And there you go. Conversation started. I went to a bunch of sessions as well because I love learning, right? That's how I learn, is I go to the event sessions, and like before or after the session, like people around me will always say something. And again, it opens up a conversation. So it's been fantastic. It's very easy to understand. It's like, yeah, it's loud and you stand out. So it works.
That's awesome. Brilliant idea. It got me thinking about what should I wear to the next conference?
Right. Yeah. That's just
dress up funny. As a big video camera or something.
Yeah. You can be one of those, what is it? Like you can get one of those old big VHS, like personal recorders, and like tape it to your head. It could be like the old school GoPro.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about enrollment a little bit. So Concept3D did some research speaking to 500 students that were recently admitted to a college institution in the last 12 months. So tell us about the findings there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, just one step back. So as Concept3D, we love to, you know, figure out what's going on in the market in terms of higher ed and publish content that's relevant and timely, right? And I think, you know, a big hot topic right now in higher ed is around yield or commitment, right? And then it's also even being more highlighted because of the FAFSA delays going on. So definitely a new issue that hasn't been around for a few years, but it's definitely top of mind, I think, you know, in the higher ed industry. And so we wanted to learn a little bit more about what higher end institutions are doing to increase yield, especially for, again, the post admitted students, right? So they've already been admitted. What are schools doing to help yield those students? And on the flip side of that, what are students thinking about the work that institutions are doing to help retain them? And so one interesting thing that we asked was around, you know, what influenced students the most? And we asked both the staff side, right? So enrollment marketers, admissions folks, right? We asked them what they thought was the most important factor for communication. And we also asked students. And then I think the answer on both sides was the same, right? They thought email was the highest. Students actually said they preferred email at 45%. So 45% of students, of the 500 students we interviewed, said they preferred email, which was massive. You know, that was kind of interesting to me, actually, because I was expecting like social media, some other apps to be a little bit higher, but they preferred email, which was interesting. And then institutions also, you know, said email was high. They also said website was high as well on their list of what makes an impact. But what I also saw as a discrepancy was that SMS or text messaging wasn't like a lot of institutions saw that it wasn't a big factor for reaching out to students, but students actually said that it was actually very helpful. So I think, one learning from this is that maybe campuses can test out a little bit more text messaging in their outreach over, you know, the next few months, because students said that's something that they preferred in terms of how they're being communicated to. Another discrepancy I saw that was interesting was I saw that institutions are kind of putting in a lot of work in their campus app. I think 20% of our respondents answered that that's where they're putting a lot of money and resources, but students actually are, you know, not finding the campus app to be like their preferred source of communication. I think it was around 10%, whereas institutions answered 20. So slight discrepancy there. I think maybe, like, you know, it's hard for a student to get onto a campus app or, you know, utilize it before they're a student. So there's probably a lot of reasons why, but, that was interesting as well. So yeah, those are some of like the initial learnings.
Like going back to the SMS, what have you seen any like text campaigns that have been like working? Like what would you send a student in that yield process that wouldn't like annoy them but would like give them helpful info.
Yeah, I mean, just timely topic right now around FAFSA, right? I think just FAFSA communications would be really good. We're actually hosting a webinar on this topic next week, and so by the time this episode is published, it'll probably be on demand. So definitely look for it. It's called FAFSA Frustrations, and if you search FAFSA Frustrations Concept 3D, it should just come up in your search. But I think one thing you can just be doing with SMS is like, you know, communicating to students, and if you have their parents' numbers as well, like, you know, saying like, hey, we're here for you if you have any FAFSA questions, if you're struggling. You can also send a form to ask them literally to fill out like, hey, have you filed your FAFSA yet? Or are you struggling with it, right? And then it's very low lift. Those who answer they're struggling, an admissions counselor can reach out to them. So that would be a great touch point that's really relevant to today, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, in general rule of thumb for me for marketing is also like, it's just another channel. Like I would never limit yourself to one channel of outreach. So the same person you text, you don't only text, right? You want to try email, you want to try text, you want to try social media, like all these things. And so I think you have to find the perfect blended mix.
Yeah. I like when, businesses or, you know, like the dentist office or something, like when they text me and that's like an interactive thing. Like I mean, that's kind of benign when it's like, your appointment's coming up. It's like, whatever. But like, if I have to cancel the appointment and I can respond to that text and cancel and then have a conversation with the admin, I love that. It just makes my life so easy. Cause I always have a running list of like phone calls that I need to make, mm-hmm. like that I don't want to make, like I could call a bank or something like that. and that is always every 6 months. That one's out. The dentist is always on there. I got to schedule an appointment. And so to have them stay ahead of that and like just text me and I can actually text back, I love that.
Yeah, that's a great example. I also get a text from my dentist like a week before the appointment. It's the best way to remind someone about an upcoming event or appointment. Like text is the best way because it's like in your face, you're going to read mm-hmm. it. And they also send me a calendar invite. So like, you know, if I have like a random shower thought when I'm sitting on the couch, I'm like, oh, I don't know when my next dentist appointment is. I can search for it in my calendar, find it there, but also be reminded through text. Like, you know, it's good to have that combo.
Yeah. Oh, they don't send me calendar invites. I would like that.
Looks like an opportunity for your dentist
to switch to a dentist in a completely other different state. Yep. Quick break here to dispel a myth. That myth is this: if you already have an internal videographer or video team at your college, then it doesn't make sense for us to work together. Now you may be expecting me to say, oh, that's a myth, it's not true. Well, actually, in some cases, it is true. If you maybe have a robust video team, multiple people manning multiple different stations and operations, and you're telling stories, and when your marketing team has an idea for a video, you can get that pushed through the video team relatively quickly. Like, you're not going to be waiting around for months and months for them to get to that project in the queue. That's a perfect case where you're probably good. God bless you. Go take on the world. But maybe you're one of these schools where budgets are a little tighter. Roles are combined. Your social media manager is also your content creator. Those are two separate jobs, by the way. Well, that's what my friend Char, who at the time we recorded this, she was doing both for the institution she works at. She was the social media manager and the videographer and the photographer. Since recording this with her, they've actually moved her into a full-time videographer, photographer, content creator role. And for her sake, I'm super pumped for her. But I'm going to let her tell you about her experience with our video storytelling subscriptions and how partnering with us, in addition to the internal video work she was already doing, helped her be able to focus on the many other priorities that she had. So here's Char.
The video subscription idea was a real godsend for me. It's been kind of life-changing in a way. I don't know if that's too strong of a statement. On a couple of different levels, as a social media manager, it was really fantastic to have this entire campaign, if you will, of student testimonials. I know that for my channels, I'm going to get a new video every single month. There's a lot of content to produce and not a lot of content creators here. So having somebody who can take that portion off my plate, it's allowed me a little bit of room to breathe and maybe focus on some other projects. Not only do you get a fully edited testimonial, you also get a delivery of all of the B-roll that was taken of that student. For instance, we have this Culinary Institute, and one of the projects we wanted to do is to create just a short little video connected to a QR code that on all the little chocolates that we give out in the restaurant, or if they make chocolates for a special event or for our board members or for any meetings or graduation, they can scan this QR code and up pops this video of some like really beautiful slow-mo hands making chocolate and that sort of thing. And I was able to go into this B-roll and find some fantastic shots of one of our students who did a testimonial creating these bonbons and creating cakes, and you've got the batter going and you've got the chocolate drizzling. So I know that I'm going to be able to take that footage, resize it. I can resize it vertically if I need it. I can resize it into a 1x1 if I need it. I can color grade it however I need to fit my needs. And I really don't have to travel across the state to our Culinary Institute to do a whole new shoot, because I've got that B footage at my hands. So really, that's something that I could sit down, edit for a couple of hours, have it done, and check it off the list, which is fantastic.
So if you'd like to get like Char and bring in an outside partner like Unveiled, you can go to unveiled.tv and book a call with me. That's UNVEILD.TV. All right, back to the show. So you said 52, there's a note here, 52% answered virtual tours were very important.
Yeah.
How would you define virtual tours? Because that's 52%. That's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we were curious, right? Because we do provide a virtual tour solution for higher ed. And we always want to understand, you know, how it's changing. We ask this question actually almost every year to the market. So, you know, we wanted to see like, you know, where it stands in terms of impact for students. And yeah, so virtual tours is a little ambiguous. It could be a 360 tour, kind of like Google Street View of a campus. Some schools call their virtual tour like a video, right? Like a walkthrough of campus, a virtual tour. Some people may call like a drone shot of the campus a virtual tour as well. But just having any of those solutions in place gives you the ability to remotely get a feel for what it's like to be on campus, right? Just like, I think the most common way like adults will understand this is apartment finding or house finding. Like, you know, it's amazing that you can like walk through the house in a tour, right? So imagine, you know, every student has the ability to walk through campus and kind of picture themselves boots on the ground style of what it feels like to be on campus. And, you know, this was a big boom during COVID, right? Because a lot of in-campus tours were canceled. But it's great to still see that like most people thought that they were very, very important towards a student's enrollment journey, because I mean, it makes sense, right? Like even if I'm applying to like, I'm in Colorado, right? If I'm applying to a Colorado school, I'm in Colorado, even if it's an hour drive away, I'd still look at the virtual tour because it's right there, right? It gives just me an opportunity to understand the lay of the land before I get there. So yeah, I think it's good. I think a couple other cool findings from the research were also that, so what was the most impactful thing for students that were admitted? And no surprise probably to anyone, but anything related to scholarships or financials were the most important factor in the commitment process. I think students answered 26% for scholarships and 24% for financials, which can be a little bit ambiguous. Institutions were right about scholarships. They guessed that that was probably the most impactful thing. But funny enough, financials as a category was fourth on the list of what they thought was going to be most impactful for their decision making. And number two was the sense of belonging or community. So I'm seeing a slight discrepancy between students actually answering much lower for how important a sense of belonging is in their impact for making a decision on a school versus schools who think that it has a very big factor. And I think there's like maybe a couple reasons why. Like one, like the sense of belonging, community is like, if you ask the 17 or 18 year old that, it's kind of like a hard thing to answer, right? You know, maybe it's not the right word for it, word choice. So I think that plays a factor. I also think maybe like pre welcome week or pre like orientation week, it's like not something you think about until you're there, you know, or maybe throughout your first year. So maybe that's why there's a discrepancy there. But I thought that was really interesting because with my podcast, we talk about building a sense of belonging a lot. And, you know, according to our research, it was a little bit lower on the list for a student. This is, again, an admitted student who's never been to campus yet or orientation. And it, it was a little bit lower on their list than I was personally expecting.
Yeah, that is surprising. I guess when you think about it, I think you're right that, you know, if you were to ask like a 17 or 18 year old if belonging is important, they probably don't even have a concept of the fact that they belong already to their high school crowd, you know, like that this idea, like you don't really become aware of something until you don't belong somewhere. So that's why I think, probably when they get to college, belonging is more important. And for me, looking back on my college experience, that belonging was very important. And the times when I didn't feel that belonging was a big struggle. But yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think freshman year, like I definitely was, I lost my sense of belonging because I was so used to having my group of high school friends and community. And like you lose all of that your freshman year. But I didn't know that until maybe, you know, the third or fourth week of school. So I think that does play a factor. One last thing I'll point out here about this research is, you know, we asked what the biggest fear was for students, you know, making the choice to commit to an institution. And, you know, actually the institutions and the students answered the same thing. And that was that, you know, the fear was that they're just making the right choice as a whole, right? And so I think Allison Tercio, shout out to Allison, is, you know, implementing this in her campaigns as well. And we talked about this on our episode with her as well. But yeah, you know, students are really worried about making the right choice. And I think, you know, one learning from that is, you know, what can you do to, you know, make sure during this summer period, right, or spring and summer period, what can you do to make students more confident in their choice about committing to an institution or school? I think there's a lot of things you can do, and that kind of rolls into our next topic pretty nicely too. But yeah, you know, that's really interesting, right? Just an overall, like, make them feel good about making the right choice and committing to your institution was very, very important.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, making the right choice, because I always try to put myself in those shoes, and I'm like, yeah, I would be afraid. I remember being afraid of making the wrong choice going to college, and that, you know, there's probably not necessarily a bad choice, but like, you know, when you're kind of choosing really where to plant roots, that is a big fear. And it is a good opportunity for content that people put out and storytelling to sort of address that. And even after they've, you know, they've been on campus, they've enrolled, all that stuff, like kind of reaffirming that, like, you did make the right choice. You're still in the right place.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's all tied to everything else, right? Financials wasn't another option in this question. So, I mean, you know, it's all tied together, right? I'm making a huge investment in my life. I'm going to be in student debt. You know, I do have to make the right choice. And so I think having the resources, the content, the communications to help make a student feel supported, and that is really important.
And how are you guys getting this data?
Yeah, we actually used a service called Polefish to survey a bunch of students and a bunch of 500 students to be exact, and 500 staff about this question.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's talk about commencement. How should schools be thinking about commencement?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, commencement is coming up, right, in May for most institutions. And, you know, I thought it'd be a great timely topic to talk about this. And we can kind of tie it a little bit together with, you know, how building that sense of for a student that they're making the right choice, right? So with commencement day coming up, I think there's a lot of things that marketing comms and enrollment teams can be doing by working together and creating content around commencement day. So, you know, students want to see outcomes, and that and make sure that they're making the right choice, right? And so I think you should use content from the commencement day and that week and use that content in your melt campaigns this summer, right? So, you know, maybe during commencement, right, you can film students that have agreed to be filmed to highlight their story, how they feel in that moment around graduation, interview their parents, right? Create a inventory of all this content and start, you know, plugging and playing it into your different outreach for yield campaigns this summer. I think that's a very tactical thing you can do. And this all comes back to actually this, the exact same poll question around, you know, what, sorry, let me pull it up. I actually have it here on my screen. The question was around making the right choice, but you know, they really cared about future job prospects and outcomes, right? And so the commencement day and graduation and the feeling you have around it, you know, what you've accomplished is a great way to prove the outcome of university or your institution, right? And so having that content as a part of the summer period, I think is great because it really shows the outcome, which helps, I think, translate to making the right choice. And so, you know, there's a lot of examples of what kind of content to film, but just creating a plan around like, all right, we want, you know, these shots, these video shots, we want these quotes from students, right? We want to be at this school for this graduation time, I think will be really helpful in just capturing all those moments and interviewing students, parents, constituents, even faculty is a great way to use that period as a marketing communications person to, you know, log that content and create it.
Yeah, that's awesome. It is a really great opportunity for interviews. And then it, you know, as a videographer, I'm thinking through the logistics of that, which would be pretty hard to like pick people up. You know, it's easy to like when they go across the stage and then they stop and the photographer is there to take a picture. Cause that's just like,
yeah,
there's the picture, but then a video interview is a little more involved. But like, it made me think of like back when I used to film, do wedding films, this previous company I worked for, we had a one offering that was a video interview booth. So instead, so, you know, you'll see like a photo booth at mm-hmm. a wedding, but this was like, which was video, you know, interviews. So it was an opportunity for them to like send, you know, just like anyone that wants to say something, like it could be the most drunken, you know, funny thing. We're just going to send the couple the raw footage. And I always thought that was super fun, a super fun way, for people's guests and the couple to express themselves in the moments where they are actively experiencing that joy. And, exactly. And like, I can imagine that being effective for like a graduation thing. Like if you just set up something that's like real casual and let, you know, a student go in there with their parents or whatever, and just say whatever, tell a story, mm-hmm. say how you're feeling, say what you're going to do next. The challenge, you know, becomes where do you do that? Where that's not going to be like super loud, and ruin all the audio, but yeah, I don't know. That's just an idea that you made me think of saying that.
Yeah, that's great. And like, I think one great part about this is kind of tying to your wedding video concept is that you can send that video file to the student that graduated. And I almost assure you that that person's going to be excited to have that, you know, that video of themselves post-graduation, like for the rest of their lives, right? It's a pretty important time in their memory, and you're gonna put a nail in the stake or stake in the ground for mm-hmm. that moment even further, which is gonna create, you know, a long-lasting alum. And so I just think as so many different compounding good things coming out of it. So yeah, I think that's great. It related to the actual logistics of commencement day as well. You know, I think from a content perspective, there's a lot of communication that Marcom teams need to do, right? This is usually what they have to do specifically with in relation to commencement day. And so, you know, one struggle I had when I was graduating was like trying to explain to my parents and sister like where the buildings were and stuff. So initially, like I had to actually like meet up with them because it was a bit hard to understand for them. And so like, you know, just trying to make that campus more navigable in terms of like communications, maybe it's a map that you have, right? I think one thing a lot of institutions always forget is parking. Like parking is a really big issue for institutions, and especially if you're visiting for commencement day, like where do you park to go to this school, like business school, graduation, the main ceremony, like those are all confusing. So really highlighting a lot of those. And I think I said at the start of this is that Concept 3D does make interactive maps, and we partner with a lot of higher ed institutions to make their interactive map for them. And we get data on the back end about what gets used the most. And funny enough, it's parking. So during commencement day and welcome week, like parking searches are super high in terms of like most searched things, right? Because this is a big pain point for people. So I think, you know, just really communicating parking is really big. Another cool thing you can do is like maybe highlight some restaurants and hotels and show the proximity it is to different campuses, right? So there's huge campuses where maybe the business school or, you know, another school of is in a different part of campus, like maybe trying to highlight the hotels that are closer to that you can walk to and stuff would be really, really awesome. And just to even add to that, like restaurants, right? So maybe schools can recommend restaurants to go to. So I think there's a lot of cool communicating you can do to make that journey for not just the student, but also the people visiting for commencement day more clear and something they can be really excited about versus like confused about. So yeah, there's just, I think a lot of good things you can do in communicating
when you say
actual commencement day.
When you say interactive map, like take us through like what that looks like. How do you interact with it?
Absolutely. So the way I think of it is, if you have seen if you've been to like a Disney or a theme park and they give you like a map printout and all the different buildings or rides or roller coasters look like they do in real life, we create that same thing, but a digital version of that. So like think of like a Google Maps for a theme park, but now think of it as a campus. And so you're able to search for certain buildings, certain streets, certain restaurants on campus. You can create categories for bathrooms, parking, certain buildings, right? Or athletics events. And you can categorize all those things. And it also provides, like Google does, navigation, right? So if you want to get from point A to point B and get the exact directions on like where to turn, you know, what way you're facing, you can use our map to help figure that out. So like, you know, it's also really helpful for welcome week when students don't know where their first class is. So those are some of the things that we do as an interactive map.
And is there like production involved in that? Do you guys like go to the school and map everything out? What does that look like?
Yeah. So we use a combo of, you know, I'm not on the production team, but we use a combo of, I think like Google Earth, any like drone footage the school might have or over campus footage. We use Street View. And we literally have a team of designers that like will create, you know, like I'm going to talk about the University of Colorado again, but like our UMC, right? Like they'll get pictures of it and they'll actually create a 3D rendering file of it that we illustrate. And then we put on a map. So it's really, really cool. So when you're on the map and you like campus buildings are really recognizable, right? Like
yeah.
A lot of campuses have unique buildings, and to be able to be like, hey, oh, this is the same one, you know, on my phone is really cool, I think.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Because I'll get lost in my own driveway. So I need a map. And yeah, you mentioned like Cedar Point or like, you know, Disney or whatever. I'm just thinking of Cedar Point because we go there every year. And I like the fact that like the map and the picture of the roller coaster matches what the actual roller coaster looks like. That's super helpful because they all like, you know, they're like intertwined with each other, or, you know, looping all around the theme park. It's hard to like separate them, but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
In terms of, well, we kind of talked about this, but, student stories, how do you think about commencement as an opportunity to highlight, in student outcome stories?
Yeah, I think, you know, similar to the actual commencement moment, I think you can highlight student stories. Like this doesn't have to be right after they, you know, got their certificate or anything, but, you know, you can pick out a few students ahead of time and, you know, interview them around their journey in higher ed and create some content from it, right? That you can spread through Reels, Instagram, on your website. I think it's a great opportunity to figure out more student stories. And the reason behind this is, like, I've talked to a lot of social media marketers on my podcast, the Higher Ed Demand Gen. And, you know, one resounding thing I hear is there was a point, I think 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when social media was all about, like, trying to show all the, you know, the flashy elements of campus and, you know, what they can get. But I think a lot of social media marketers are finding out now that they really want to hear from other students, right? So they want to hear their story, how college was from them, again, in that real life perspective. And so using that opportunity where, you know, students are in a reflective moment in their life to capture those stories. So it's very close to what the interview thing was before we talked about, but just highlighting those stories, finding and picking out a few students that you can cover their story and journey through higher ed is really important. And I think capturing all that video content or quotes or photos and, you know, having that content readily available for future use is really good. And that way, like, if you're a higher ed marketing team, you don't have to, like, hire models for your shoots and, like, set up all these things. Like, you can do it all organically, which is amazing. Right. And so, I don't know if two birds, one stone is the right analogy here, but, like, you're making use of what you already have, right? That's already there and what's really real. And I think it just creates better ethical marketing.
Cool. Love it. So tell us a little bit about the, your podcast. Like, what do you guys talk about on there? Who are some notable guests that you've had on?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man, I've had a ton of guests, but podcast wise, I host the Higher Demand Gen podcast, and we cover any topics related to marketing in higher ed. And I quickly found that a lot of departments are responsible for marketing, even though they might not be called that in their title or in their job scope. But we cover everything from top of funnel, like social media marketing, branding, all the way to, I talk to university advancement alumni teams about, you know, maybe it's, how can I get more people to attend my virtual event? Or how do I reconnect with more alums and get donations, right? And so I think those are all forms of marketing. And I want to talk about, you know, all those topics on one podcast show, because I think they're all tied together and they're often not. And I also think that, you know, just from a thought leadership perspective, like, higher ed marketing really needs, like, a bigger seat at the table, right? Like, we're usually not a part of strategic planning, but we're the most capable team of tying together a lot of the departments from a communication standpoint to start, that I think, you know, they're very undervalued, which I think is changing, but they are undervalued. And so, you know, like, at the very top, I hope that the Higher Demand Gen podcast will help, you know, talk about some of those things and help educate maybe even senior leadership more about, like, marketing's worth and value.
That's awesome. It is a good show. So I do recommend people go check that out. So yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, where can people find you at that want to connect with you?
Absolutely. You can find the podcast. Just search Higher Ed Demand Gen on Spotify, Apple, or Google, and we should come up. We've got a big green logo. You can find me on LinkedIn. Just search Shiro Hattori, and I should pop up as the first search result. It's Shiro Hattori, Shiro Hattori. And yeah, those, just reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm super active. As John knows, I usually respond within the day. And so hit me up. If you think you're going to be a good guest on the pod, just reach out. Like, I'd love to set up an intro call.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, this is great. Thanks for, I love when people bring, like, data on the show, you know, cause I think, it just helps. It's so easy to just make marketing decisions based on assumptions and, you know, assuming what people want to hear and all that stuff. So I appreciate you bringing some solid data that's useful for our audience.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. It's been awesome.
Thanks for listening. Three things I want to give you before you go. Number one, reminder to sign up for my free weekly newsletter all about creating content that resonates emotionally with your audience. And you can do that at unveiled.tv/newsletter. Unveiled is spelled UNVEILD. Number two, if you've enjoyed this episode, share it with someone. Share it with your team, your boss, your dog, whatever. And if you're not already subscribed, I'd love for you to do that. Number three, reach out to me. If you have comments, questions, you want to talk about a video project, whatever, my email is john@unveiled.tv. John is spelled J-O-H-N. Or follow me on LinkedIn. If you're searching for me, my last name is spelled A-Z-O-N-I. That's all for today, and I look forward to catching you on the next episode of the Higher Ed Storytelling University podcast. Thanks.